I want to look into Acts 13 this morning, verses 1 to 4, and then 14, verses 26 to 28. And I'll read this out of the ESV this morning. Now there were in the Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent off by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, chapter 14, verse 26. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and he remained no little time with the disciples. The title of the message this morning, Launched by God's Grace. And I get the title out of verse 26. If you use the Message paraphrase translation, it says there in verse 26, and caught a ship back to Antioch where it had all started, launched by God's grace, and now safely home by God's grace. Launched by God's grace. Now, if we look at verse 1 here in chapter 13, it tells us a little bit of the makeup of the church. And it's quite interesting as we look at the makeup of the church, the early church there. It says there was prophets and teachers, implying that there's others within the church. They're in Antioch. But it names a few men. It names Barnabas. We know Barnabas was an encourager. It also names Simon, that was called Niger. We don't know a lot about him. Then it mentioned Lucius of Cyrene. And he's mentioned in Acts 2:20 and also in Romans 16:21. In 16:21, mentioned as one of Paul's kinsmen. What we see here is these are different men from different countries even. And then we come across Manon there. He was brought up, it's taught, as a foster brother to Herod the Tetrarch. What's interesting as we look at that is it is clearly a choice that people make. Herod having a foster brother that chose to follow the Lord in the early church. And Herod, obviously, he was a ruler under with the Romans. Very distinct, different lives. I think really what that tells us is it's distinct lives by choice, by the choices that we make as we go through life. It also mentions Saul, a fairly new convert, and yet listed as a teacher and a prophet. The church, the bride of Christ, is made up of every tribe and every nation. We looked at Revelation 7:9 in the presentation. And at the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, verse 5 tells us that there were men from every nation under heaven there at the day of Pentecost. God desires that all men hear the gospel. And we see these men coming from many different backgrounds and many different experiences of life, we're still serving the Lord together. And that's what's beautiful when we think about a local body of believers. God brings us together for a purpose, to do church together. And it can be very rewarding, unless you come from Lancaster County or Holmes County, where you just stick amongst yourselves. But when you get out into the world, and I can say that I lived on the fringes of the Mennonite community most of my life, although I stayed at the same place. Now it does seem like I'm a little more in the inn than what I used to be. I'm really intrigued by even our Anabaptist brothers and the migration of how that happens. But we... yeah, we started doing, we were called to inner city mission work in Reading, a number of blocks, about 10 blocks from where Fairview was in Reading. And we did work together some back in those days. And yeah, it was a very good experience. Reading today, with the new census that came out, is a city of about 97,000. And 78% of those are Hispanic. So we live in Reading, my wife and I do. So we consider ourselves a minority. So yes, that does give us a little background. I pastored the church there at Shiloh for 10 years. And then was called to member care with D&I, turned over the leadership role to someone else, and then we eventually left there, and now I'm serving as an associate pastor at Living Hope Mennonite Fellowship in Pottstown, which is east of Reading. So that's where we are today. As we look here in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord, as they went about doing church the way they did, as they exercised their gifts, as they filled their roles, as the church functioned, we see them worshiping and fasting together. And this was done in a number of occasions throughout Acts. Acts 13:3, Acts 13:14, Acts 13:23. We see them in worship and fasting, or prayer and fasting. As I studied this, I had to think, what were they praying and fasting about? What was Jesus' mandate that he gave the disciples? Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, I like to use some creative thinking, and I wonder if the church there was established there in Antioch, they reached out to the Jewish community, that was their Jerusalem, they did what they could. But how do they fulfill God's mandate of all people? And I can't help but seeing what happened here, thinking that they were praying and fasting how they could fulfill the rest of the mandate to all people. Spending time in prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord's will. What's really neat there, we see the Holy Spirit spoke. You know, I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak because we don't really seek him. Do we long to hear what God has for us? Or do we have our own ideas and move in our own direction? As we think about the people that haven't heard the gospel, I want to give you some statistics here. According to JoshuaProject.net, there are 7,165 people groups. Remember I said less than? Now this is less than 5% Christian. That is the evangelical platform. 2% born again. But 7,165 people groups that are less than 5% Christian, making up 41.6% of the world's population. That's the people groups that have not heard the gospel. According to Illuminations.Bible, of the 6,300 languages that exist today, over 3,800 have little to no scripture. That is nearly half have no scripture languages. So how are we as a church to fulfill the Great Commission? And it's amazing to me today, we have so many different platforms and resources to use. You can even tell your phone to translate a language for you today. It's amazing. And I'm always, I think back to the Tower of Babel, where they wanted to be one language. And we almost have the technology to be one language. And what's God going to do then? That's my mind running. So, because people haven't changed. The Holy Spirit spoke clearly to them as they prayed and fasted. And he said, separate these that I have called for a work that is beyond this community. And he called Saul and Barnabas to go and do a work that they had no idea what they were going to get into. But it was to share the gospel and plant churches. And we see Paul doing that over and over again. In Romans 1, he calls himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a slave. You know, Paul thought he was on the right road, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus spoke very clearly to him. And out of love for what Jesus did for him in correcting his path and giving him salvation, he then called himself a slave to Jesus Christ, a bondservant. If we have as a church could get to that point, how much could we change those statistics that I shared with you? That was the first point. They were called to launch. The second point is prepare to launch. Verse 3, we see that when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. And I think it's so beautiful to see how they didn't quit fasting and praying once the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, and called Paul and Barnabas out. But they kept beseeching God as to what they would have. I mean, where would they go? What would they do? What does this look like? You know, we need God's direction in our lives. And we need to continue to pray and fast. And as a congregation, St. Eric and Linda, I would really encourage you to continue to be in prayer with them. I shared some of the unknowns that they face and we face even as an organization. And yet seeking God as to what he has. Bathe in prayer. And already shared, we put a strong emphasis on that within D&I. And yeah, really wanting to follow God's mandate and fulfill sharing the gospel among unreached people, those that have never heard. Of course, it takes preparation and training. It takes various, today we need to study culture. I don't know what Paul did back then. But if you go into a culture unawares, you can soon do more damage than good. So we need to know where we're taking the gospel and what the culture looks like. But we see here that they were faithful in preparing Paul and Barnabas to go. I shared earlier that as Dee and I, we want to partner with sending churches in recruiting, training, sending, and supporting. And this afternoon with the leadership, and I'm not sure if you have a missions committee, I'm not sure who's all going to be involved in that meeting. We recently put together a church partnership manual and just helping us understand how we partner together. And we'll be going through that. But preparation is something that is needed. And then they sent them away. That's the third point here is they launched them. They sent them away. They sent them away in prayer again, laying hands on them and sending them. And I think that's so powerful. I am an advocate of that. I would really encourage you to have a commissioning service when you send Eric and Linda and their family. It's amazing how many churches don't even have commissioning services. They send people out and then wonder why it doesn't work. It's sad when I see that. We've seen too much of, I think, in our circles of maybe release and forget, or maybe we do send them and forget them. But as a good sending church, we can't do that. And the work that you send Eric and Linda or others too. I hear you have a daughter in Hillcrest, another one up in New Holland at Hayloft. I don't know where else you have people, but that really should be an extension of your home congregation, and to take an active part of those ministries and what's happening and being involved and encouraged. Communication is a two-way street. I sit with a lot of churches, and they say, well, and many times when workers are not well cared for, it's because of communication. Communication is a two-way street. The workers need to communicate with the home congregation. The home congregation needs to communicate with the workers. There's so many different ways that can be done. Today we have so many different platforms to stay in touch, more than we ever had in this world. As we look at this example, Paul and Barnabas, after they were finished, after with the work that God called them, they came back and told the church all about it. I wonder how many letters that Paul wrote back. He always liked to write letters. We don't know that. It doesn't give us what they did, but he does tell us that he gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith among the Gentiles. The fourth point here I'd like to make is the launch was completed. We see that in verse 26 of chapter 14, where they God clearly directed them that their work is completed, and we see them going back to Antioch from where they were commissioned. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's something that we within D&I are actively working on, making sure that the workers under D&I are well taken care of. Statistically, and this may shock you, or may not, because I think we see it all around us, over 70% of all returned missionaries leave their sending church within the first year after returning. And that statistic is 92% after 5 years. And we see here the example of Paul and Barnabas coming back to the church in Antioch and being connected. And it says they stayed there with him no small time. Now, if you actually read when Paul's second missionary journey was, it was only 3 years later. But they came back and were plugged in. Paul and Barnabas were in this work at Antioch. God opens doors, God closes doors. We need to walk through those doors that are open. And when God closes the door, well, we need to regroup. But what better way to regroup than with the body that commissioned us to go? You know, and it's really beautiful in our own lives. We've God called us in different directions, different times. And we look back on those times as it was such a blessing when the church released us to further the work that God had for us. Really beautiful. I think back on probably the most beautiful experience when we were called to Reading, involved in church leadership at a very large congregation. And yet we did not, we got a call from God to prepare for what he has for us, which it took us quite some time. We were very involved in business, had three different businesses that we had to disperse. Some people thought we were completely loony, but to follow a call that we had no idea what it was. But what's so beautiful there is as a church body, we came together and said, we don't know where God is calling, but we will release you for wherever God calls. And it was, 9 months later, before we even, 8 months, nine months later, before we were called to the work at Reading. So that was just beautiful to be able to have that type. And it happened another time in our callings. So how do we work together as a body of believers as we send people out as an extension of our home congregation to take care of them? So I really encourage you as a congregation to find ways to work. And even as D&I, we would encourage you to even someone go visit. and many other ways to take care of those you send. Be actively involved in our lives. In God's economy, there are only two types of people, those sending and those sent. And many times, we find ourselves filling both roles. How does God send you? How does he send me? And how does he call me to support others that are sent? And the most beautiful way to do that is with prayer and really taking an interest in the work that they're doing. That's just people. That's how we connect. That's how we build relationships. And I think the early church here gave us a beautiful example on how to do that, being connected. We can look at those verses in between what we read here this morning and see many of Paul and Barnabas' experiences. It was not easy. And yet they did not give up and then finished the work. They were sorely persecuted, I would say. Chased out of towns, stoned, but continued on. And how could Paul and Barnabas continue that work? I think it was because of the prayer, the prayers of the people at Antioch. So just an encouragement there. For us, as we think about fulfilling the Great Commission to all people in all nations. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful account of the early church, and how they sent Paul and Barnabas, and the many examples that we can pull from that to make us better senders, even to beseech you who that you are calling among us to go to the unreached of the world. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us a burden for the unreached people, those that have never heard the gospel. Lord, we are so blessed. We have heard the gospel so many times. Yet, I think sometimes we feel like we have a corner on the market and hold it within ourselves and don't share that. Lord, help us to be bondservants as Paul was, and out of thankfulness for what you had done for his life and for our lives, that we go and share the gospel to those that have not heard. Lord, help us to see who and what we might be if we haven't heard the gospel. But thank you that we have. And now that we have heard the gospel, responded to you, we have a great responsibility to continue the message forward. We thank you for that opportunity. I pray for the church here, like grace for each one here. Bless them as they send various from their congregation, including Eric and Linda and their family, and show them the path that you have for them. Lord, help them to be excellent senders. We pray this in Jesus' name.